Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m., and we have our guest, Bruce Jameson, in the studio today to talk about his upcoming trip to Nepal. So feel free to call in. That number is 874-2345. So, Bruce, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Absolutely. So we know that you're going to be going to Kathmandu. Tell us a little bit about what brought you over to Nepal many years ago.
Back in the 70s, I was a troubled youth, and I got inspired by these paintings of a friend who went over there in the 60s and driving around on a motorcycle, and he had pictures of Nepal, and it was just a place I wanted to visit. And so in 1978, I went over there and spent the winter over there between up in the mountains of Nepal and traveling across India.
Yeah, how long were you there?
Almost 4 months.
Yeah, what all did you do there?
I did a lot of trekking and just visited a lot of places like the Taj Mahal, the fort in Lucknow, the Red Fort in Lucknow, and just hung out in the countryside.
Absolutely. How many times have you been over there?
I've been there twice, and this will be my third time coming up.
Okay. Yeah, tell us, what was that second trip like?
Oh, the second trip was like, it really inspired me to go back there, because I always wanted to go back, and I really wanted to give back when I went there, because Nepal was always been a very special place to me. So I saw on CNN in 2010 of where I learned about the Friends of Mati of Nepal, and learned of what Audria was doing. And so when I went back there, I went and spent a couple days in Seattle and went to all the Goodwill stores and bought all these wool clothing for all the victims and their children of the sex trade, illegal sex trade over there, and went over to the Friends of Mati Nepal and met Audrey, and she showed me the compound, and I gave her this backpack full of clothing, and when I was in there, it was a very powerful moment. I mean, it was very to see the love, truly love there, where the people just loved this woman for what she did for saving their lives.
Yeah, tell me how you even found out about her.
I saw it in 2010. She was on the CNN. She was a candidate for the Hero of the Year Award. And out of, I think, a dozen people, she won it. And that's where I learned about her.
Absolutely. And just tell me a little bit more about that organization.
Yeah, she is a former English school teacher, and she, having heard stories of these people, these businessmen in India, they come up into the hills, up into the mountains of Nepal, and they promised the families if their young women would come work for these high-paying factory jobs in India. And so the women go with them, and then when they get into India, it's a big surprise. They're just forced into prostitution and kept into these brothels. And so Audrey, she, has formed up a team, and she goes up with the local police, and they raid these brothels, and they bring them back into Nepal. But when they get back into Nepal, the victims, they can't go back to their families because of cultural differences. They're shamed. You know, they've shamed their family, shamed their village, so they can't go back to their villages. So they're stuck in Kathmandu, penniless, and a lot of them have, some are addicted to drugs. Some have HIV and other health issues, and some have children, and they're uneducated, so they need to be brought back into society. So she's just opened up her house and started small and has gotten into a very large, she has a very large compound now where she's helping many now.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and she's a hero in her country now, and she has her own political party there. Okay. And she's so a big hero in her country. When I was in the tea houses this year, you'd always see a picture of the Dalai Lama in the tea houses. You'd see her picture right beside the Dalai Lama in a lot of the tea houses. This is how much of a hero. She's well respected in her own country.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, people recognize what she's doing and all the good she's doing, but these women, they still have all the stigma when they come back. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, the time is 1:06. We have our amazing guest in, Bruce Jameson. We're talking about his upcoming trip to Nepal and the charity that he's helping out. So go ahead and give us a call. We'll have a short break, and then we'll be back. That number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. Time is 1:09. Bruce, so we know that you are going over to Kathmandu to do some charity work. You know, we also know that you're a climber and an adventurer, a traveler. Tell me a little bit about your experience climbing and traveling over in that region.
This will be my third time over there. Over there, I've been to the base camp of Annapurna, and then last year I've been to the base camp of Everest. This year, I'm going to be doing the Annapurna circuit, hopefully with my wife, and then plus I'm going to try to get her up to the base camp of Everest, and just spend some time up in the mountains.
How are you preparing for that?
Well, I exercise, and then I have a great job with Alaska Vistas where that keeps me in pretty good shape where I'm as a hiking guide, so that helps me, and then ride my bicycle, so I don't run up the mountains anymore, so a step at a time.
And, how did you get into climbing? What's your interest in that?
I don't know. I was just always interested in climbing up in the hills and just keep going higher and higher. But I've always, originally from Maine, and always seen these pictures on the west coast of the Rocky Mountains and in Alaska, and it was just a draw to me.
And you know, you could be somebody that goes over to places like Nepal and over all over the world and just climb. But yeah, there was something that made you say, I need to give back to the communities of these places that I'm visiting. Why do that and not just climb all day and eat good food and hang out with locals? And
I don't know. It's probably, maybe I got the soft heartness from my mother, on my mother's side. But when you get over there, when you come from America and you go over there and you see people that are very, very poor, and then you realize that in America, you know, we have extremely poor people here too, but there's always some kind of a safety net here. But over there, there's no safety net. They get nothing. And I've seen the poorest of the poor, and it's very sad. And you see bad drinking water conditions, very poor health. I mean, you see open sewage running through there, and so you see a lot of diseases, and you see a lot of people with some very nasty injuries, and they have no way to get, you know, they have no medical care. And it's very sad. So it just opens, you know, you just open up your eyes and your heart when you're over there.
And yeah, when you go over there and you are able to help out and you meet these people, you know, you said that they show you a lot of love and appreciation. You know, who are the people that you're meeting? You know, what stories are they telling you? How What kind of lives do they
live? I've met a lot. Most of them are all just local people out in these little villages, and they've got quite the stories, you know, especially the ones that I really liked the most were the Tibetans that were coming back over, coming into Nepal through Tibet, and they'd tell me the stories of, you know, being chased by the Chinese guards, border guards, and being shot at, and then talking about having to trudge through heavy snow to get down into Nepal to a safe haven. And earthquake survivors there, they had a really bad earthquake there a couple years back, and the survivors were telling me, you know, what they had to go through. So
absolutely. And yeah, and you said, you know, you're meeting these women, you're also meeting their kids. Yeah. And then, yeah, and the locals there that are helping out, and I guess they are able to help in that way. So what exactly, you know, are you going to be doing over there? You're going to be bringing donations. You're going to be saying hi to people and listening to stories. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm going to, first thing when me and Christy get into Kathmandu is after we get over our jet lag is to go over to the Friends of Mati and give them the donations. And then we're going to do a little trek up in the mountains and then go back and travel to the other part, to the western part of Nepal, and stay there. And then we're going to be there for a couple weeks and then go down to the southern part. And I have some friends that I made from last year there that I'm on Facebook with, and go visit with them. And then after that, we're going to head over to Africa and be in Tanzania for a while. And then we're going to go to the, when we're over there, we're also going to the Kilimanjaro Orphanage and do some volunteer work there too.
Yeah, what are you going to do at that orphanage?
Whatever they need. If they need me, if they need to put a hammer in my hand and I have to go fix something for them, I'm going to just do it and help out in the kitchen to feed the kids, or help dig a ditch, dig a well. I'm just going to just go and help.
Absolutely. How long will you be gone?
I'll be back. I'll leave in November 12th and won't be back until the 9th of February.
It sounds like an amazing trip.
Yeah, it is. It's very amazing. I'm very excited about this. I just love meeting these people out there when I travel, and I've met some amazing people traveling around the world.
That's the best part of traveling.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me, you know, you're gathering donations. Tell me how people in Wrangell have been helping you out with this.
Oh, the St. Philip's Church was just magnificent. Bonnie Demersion approached me in August about needing the floor of the church insulated. So I told her I would do it, but I really didn't need the money. And I asked her, I said, I'll do it, but just give me a donation to my favorite charity. And so she did. So I went and did the job with a group of her volunteers, and we got it done on a Saturday. And I expected a couple $100, and it was quite more than that. And I'm just overwhelmed by the support that they gave me. And that letter that I wrote, 2 weeks ago, I've gotten two notices from two people, and they're giving us donations to bring over there too. So, and I'm hoping to get more to bring over there. And if we're putting out a blog, and especially I'd like to get going on, my other thing is to help out in Africa too. So if anybody feels like they want to, when we get over towards Africa, just email us and let us know, and see what we can do to help out with, they could help us out in Africa too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So people can reach out to you, if they want to give you donations, and, you know, tell me a little bit about what are some of your pie-in-the-sky things you would like to do, you know, to help out people. You've seen a lot of different things that people are going through in the world, tell me what would be some cool things you would want to do too.
Oh, I'd like to go over and, you know, help out with drinking water in a lot of these countries is a must, and they really need help digging wells and or putting in a pump, and I'd like to work on that. Or, you know, I'm a carpenter by trade, and, you know, they can put me to use by putting some kind of tool in my hand. And everything from a medical clinic to schools, bridges, whatever, you know, I can help.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, Bruce, remind us again, if people are interested in donating or asking you more about your trip, how should they get a hold of you?
Get a hold of just me or Christy, and, I'll give you the information you need.
Okay. Bruce, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
All right, you've been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:18. We will be back next week with another guest. Peace out.